Blog Talk Radio.
Bring it back.
I was gonna rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Off control, back to Palomar, getting in on the left side, into the American end, 55 seconds, but Mikhailov has the puck, Mikhailov sweeping in, out in front, backhander goes wide, I think Krejci might have got just a piece of it, Mikhailov, back out to Billy Legendov, 43 seconds remaining, Morrow, gets into the boards, it comes back to center ice, 38, 37 seconds left in the game, Petrov with it, the Americans on top, 4-3, long shot, Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Karlamov shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in miracles?
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
We don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself, and this happens. Now, I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
I got this all late, so I'm killing you.
You logged in right now?
I'm
not going to believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching every day. It was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stop being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
I'm sorry to cut that song off, even though our guest just popped off now. We're here at Hard Rocket Sports 347-826-9993-4, waiting for Phil Collins from Def Leppard to call back in. I don't know what happened. I was in the middle of a song, and he popped in and popped out, but he's popping back up now. So, guys, remember, this episode and all episodes of the Hard Rocket Sports Show are brought to you by our sponsor, Jay Giacio, the official realtor of the Hard Rocket Sports Show. And remember, all of our celebrity guest interviews are sponsored by Earth3.com, Earth3, your guitar, strap, and accessories warehouse for all your specialty guitar needs, especially great straps. And remember, Earth3 is the guitar straps of legends. So make sure you check out Earth, spell out the word 3.com, Earth3.com for more. But now let's get right to our guest on this very special edition of Hard Rock and Sports. And of course, this is his second time on the show. I'm sure you won't remember the first, but I appreciate him coming back on, and this time he's back on as the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Mr. Phil Collins. Mr. Collins, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Terrific, and thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate a few minutes of your time, and I think the first thing I'll start with is congratulations on your induction and the band's induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Has it sunk in? I mean, it's a month away from the actual induction, but has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, you know, it's just a, without sounding blasé, it's another one of those things. You know, I thought we probably should have been in there a long time ago, but you know, so you know, that kind of takes a little bit of the fun out of it, you know. But yeah, no, it's really cool. Sorry, go on.
No, what I was going to ask you about, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm, you know, I'm curious. Do you think that, and yes, long overdue for you guys to get in. There's a lot of bands that are long overdue. Do you think that maybe because of And I'm gonna say, no, you're not saying it, but the bias the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has against heavy metal music, that maybe you guys got, while never, you guys don't consider yourselves in that category. Do you think that maybe kept you guys out was kind of being coming up in that time with Maiden and Priest and all that? Do you think that kind of held it back? Because it really doesn't make any sense that you guys had to wait this long to get in.
No, I think it's exactly like the Grammys. I'll give you a great example. So when we had Hysteria, which went 12 times platinum in the US. They had no category for our music. So the winner, I think that year sold like 2 million. And this happened before when we had Pyromania, which ended up selling 10 million. And the same thing happened. They couldn't find a category for us. There was no rock category, per se, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although we were top of the pop charts. And yeah. All these other artists were in there. So I think it's a similar thing. I think it's, it's down to ratings. It's down to, you know, what's acceptable. You know, we were in the pop charts, but we weren't allowed to be in the pop category for the Grammys and stuff. So I think it's a similar thing, whatever that is.
Yes, and of course. Well, you know, now it's, I mean, listen, you guys have been doing it your own way. I mean, you know, there's very few bands who do what you guys do in a sense. You record an album, you don't record an album, you'll tour for 3 years, you know, you got a ton of catalog hits. It's got to feel good at this point in your career that you guys can basically do what you want, however you want to do it. You've created this big a niche with your fan base. You can go on the road with different bands like Journey and just do what you want to do, however you want to do it, and not have to follow how the mainstream does it. I guess at this point, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doesn't really change that because you guys have already kind of accomplished that.
Yeah, and I think other people kind of look at it in a different way. They actually go, well, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it actually makes a difference from that point on, you know, with you getting accepted on TV shows and, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. and, you know, all of this stuff. But, yeah, absolutely. And I do think a lot of that stuff is the team that we've had. The reason we're still out there doing it is a team, our management, Mike Kobayashi, and, you know, the fact that we work really hard. You know, there's a lot of other artists I bump into, and they're not prepared to put the work in. It's really weird. It's like an athlete. You know, it's like you can't just rest on your laurels. You can't. You have to go out there and really kick ass all the time. You have to kind of train, and you have to do all this stuff. So it's a similar thing for a band, I think. You know, the fact that, you know, you finally getting this recognition, which we are, you know, there's no doubt about it. But I think it's down to the hard work and the teamwork that's going on inside here.
Yeah, and of course we're talking with Def Leppard guitarist and guitarist for Delta Deep and Manta Ray and tons of other stuff. And of course we were talking with Phil Collins. So let me go back a little bit because, you know, I'm a Def Leppard fan from way back. I mean, the first album I ever listened to and bought for Def Leppard was On Through the Night, and it happens to be my favorite one. It just resonates with my youth. And I'm curious, do you guys play anything on? Do you guys play any of that stuff live anymore? And I know that's before your time. You kind of came in after that. But do you have a thought on those albums and where they rank or where they place in Def Leppard history?
Yeah, and we just played Wasted in England, actually. Oh. We just done a British tour, and we kind of would dust that off every night or every other night and kind of, you know, just do a few different songs that we don't normally do. So, yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. I think most people know us for Hysteria, because it sold more and reached more people, you know. It's even though they couldn't find a category for it, but, it was so that, you know, most people kind of associate us with that stuff. But, no, we absolutely do. We're doing this Vegas residency in mm-hmm. August and September, and I think we may dust off some other stuff from that as well. Not every night, but just so that we keep it kind of fresh and you know, keep us on our toes. So we'll do different songs and stuff, so maybe from the first two albums as well, some of that stuff.
Yeah, it's funny because listen, the first of Wasted is my all-time favorite Def Leppard song. It's probably the second song I ever learned on the guitar, and it's a song that my band still dusts off ourselves once in a while when we play a gig someplace. It's a great tune, but you know what's funny, and it's for me, and I when I talk to people about Def Leppard, most people I go to don't even pay attention to the first album. They don't even know. Some people don't even know it exists. Because most people came into the Def Leppard in my world came in during Pyromania and then Hysteria. So it's great to see that you guys still play it and dust off some of those songs is great to hear. So and tell us about the residency. You know, while we're talking about how does that work in the. I mean, it's got to be better than touring on buses and planes and driving over. Wow. But you're playing in the same arena for, you know, X amount of time. Can that get stale? I mean, is that something that's better than traveling all over the world?
I think it's just so different. It's kind of what was weird when we did it before. It was like a refreshing way of doing something that you already do. It's something we'd never done before. And yeah, you can imagine back in the day, you know, when they're like Sinatra and Sammy Davis and all of those people and those bands that would play there, you approach it in a different way, I think. And I think that's the same kind of thing with us. We definitely did. It definitely felt refreshing. I mean, it was really, we were doing the same old thing, but we wasn't traveling. We were just having a different approach to it. So it actually made it cool. And the fact that people were traveling all over the world, you know, you'd bump into people. It's like, yeah, I traveled from Chile or from Singapore or Europe or whatever. And every night you'd have a different experience. So that was cool. The fact it was exactly the same place, you'd have a totally different experience. Whereas if you was on tour and you was doing a multiple night, say in New York or something, it would be the same kind of audience that would be showing up. But this one, there's definitely people traveling to see you.
Well, yeah, I mean, the pleasure place like Vegas, every day there's hundreds and there's thousands and thousands of people coming in every day. So you wind up with a new crowd every night at the same place and your
yeah.
record stays set up. So I guess in the end, but guys, make sure you check out DefLeppard.com. There's a whole bunch of tour dates starting in June, right up to their residency in Vegas in July and August, or August and September, excuse me. So make sure you check them out. But you know what? With your travel schedule, and I know you're a busy guy, so I'm trying to get to a bunch of stuff, so please bear with me. But, you know, that you've been sober for a while, and obviously you're one of the best shaped guitarists. When you're traveling, how hard is it for you to maintain your regimen? I mean, I know, you know, playing and you're gigging and you play all night and then you're moving to the next town the next day. You know, how do you manage to keep your workout regimen in tune with your travel schedule?
So usually, because we travel by bus in the States and most of our touring is in the States, I'm asleep before we leave the parking lot, you know, in the bus. And then I usually wake up about 6:30. And then you've got all this time in the day. And, you know, we got this amazing trainer that works with us. And Eric, the trainer. So he actually comes out on tour with us and we do all this stuff. So it's, you know, like I said, there's so much time. And otherwise, you'd just be sitting around. So it's kind of easy to get the training thing, you know.
Now, do the other guys partake of Eric the Trainer, or are you the only guys showing up for the 9 o'clock workout? Do you get the other guys
No,
involved?
They do now. No, everyone does. Rick Savage didn't miss one day on the last tour, and Vivian Campbell's doing it. Mike Kobayashi, our manager, our tour manager, Jessica, she does it. So yeah, no, we it's a constant, it's a flow, and I think it inspires each other if you've got more than one person doing it. So yeah, no, it's kind of cool.
Oh, that's great. Again, remember, we're talking with legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guitar player Phil Collins, makes his second appearance on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Guys, make sure you check out Hard Rock and Sports. At the end of each show, can be found also on Spotify.com in the podcast section by searching for Hard Rock and Sports, and all 300 episodes of this show are there. Again, make sure you check out Earth 3, Guitar Straps of Legends. You're constantly playing and you're all over the world with Def Leppard and residencies, but I also noticed that you are producing stuff now besides your own stuff, and I saw that you produced a new Tesla album.
Right.
Is that how is it to sit in front of somebody else's music and help capture what they're trying to? That's got to be a completely different experience.
Yes and no. What was weird, because I've known the guy from Tesla for, you know, over 30 years. So it was really super cool. You know, we actually sat down and tried to create new music, like write different songs and kind of all get together, not just like, here's a bunch of songs, let's record them. We actually created the whole thing. So there was a concept, if you like, that we had. So and we'd done a lot of it while we were on tour together, which, you know, you'd go in a back room, backstage somewhere, or a dressing room or whatever, and, you know, a bus, a hotel room, and we'd done most of the guitars like that. But it was great. It was really inspiring, and everyone was totally inspired all the time. You know, I'd have, like, Frank Hannon would come up to me in a hallway and say, I've got this new part for this song. And then we'd go in and record it. It was great.
Well, when you're doing that now, I mean, are you careful to, you know, you're the producer, so you're there to make sure that the end result is what the band's looking for, but with your ear and do you have a how difficult it is to sit there and tell another guitar player or another musician, hey, it's not quite right. I don't like the sound of that. Is it a tough go to do that? Do you have to find your way through it, or how does that process work?
No, that's wide open. That it's like, you know, the great thing about me is we learned all this stuff from Mutt Lange, you know, who produced all of our stuff.
Mm.
When you suggest something, if someone says, well, why not? You better have something that's better than what they've got. So you if someone says, well, you know, why isn't this cool? Then you say, because this would be cool if you'd done something like this, and you make an example, you sing it or you play it or whatever like that. So I think, I know with some producers, they go, well, it just doesn't sound right. So, well, then you need to tell me what sounds better. So that's what I would do, you know, if that ever come up. The whole thing, you know, we really did work as a team. It was great. It would be, you know, if I said something like that, if I said, well, this isn't cool because it sounds like this, it would be better if you did and give an example. And because I play guitar, I can actually give an example.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be, I mean, it's just another piece of the career, just another thing to do. I mean, not that you need more things to do. You guys are constantly playing. But so let's go back to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a little bit for a minute. So you guys are going to go out there and play. Are you guys going to get to play during the induction? Are you guys going to play a few songs?
We are. That's the exciting part for me, I've got to say, because, you know, we're a live band, and you know, I'm not really into kind of awards shows and stuff, but that would be great. So I'm actually really looking forward to that. Brian May from Queen is going to induct us in there. So that's even cooler. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Like three songs. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How do you pick the three? Here's the question. How do you pick the three songs?
They're pretty obvious what they want us to do and you know what we end up wanting to do, so it'd probably be the same. So yeah, I'm sure it'd be our hot chestnuts, as they call them, you know, your biggest songs, your biggest, you know. So yeah,
I guess there's the ones everybody all the you know, it's like you brought Brian May and I watched the Queen play at the Oscars, which
to me was the only
part of the Oscars I watched. It was only part of the Oscars I watched. It gets too political for me, but you know, I want them to play, you know, Tie Your Mother Down. I want them to play the 10 songs, and of course they play, you know, We Are the Champions and We'll Rock You and all that stuff. And it's nice just to hear Queen playing. So don't get me wrong, he's one of the best. But you know, I mean, sometimes you just want to hear different things. But how did it come to? Did you guys pick Brian May, or is it picked for you? Who inducts you?
No, we obviously really wanted him to do it. You know, he's like, Queen was such an influence on us. And you know, I know he's really busy. I mean, more than obviously just playing the Oscars, got the movie and everything else. And, you know, Queen are having an amazing, like, you know, Indian summer with their career. I know he's really busy. But, yeah, he was up for doing it, which was really great.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they've had like three different, I don't want to call it resurgences, but it was amazing. You know, when Bohemian Rhapsody came out in the 70s, it was big. Then back in the 90s, it popped again. And then now it's popped again with the movie and they're on stage. It's amazing how their career just kept circling and circling. It's amazing. And he still sounds, you know, he's, no offense to any other guitar player, but he's got the most distinctive sound ever.
Absolutely. No, it's so cool. It's it makes your hair stand up on your arm. It's great.
You know, and you know what the funny part is, like you could try. I guess it, you know, as a guitar player, as a real professional guitar player, it'd be impossible to capture his sound because it's his fingers ultimately making that sound. But you can't even capture the tone that he gets out of that guitar. It's the most recognizable thing. In music, almost.
I'd say so. Yeah, that's great. That's what you want. You know, that's mission accomplished. You know, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I guess you want to stand out, but that's got to be great to go out there and have a hero guy like Brian May, already Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, inducting you guys in there and then get to play a few songs. Is it just the current band? Vivian's back. Everything's going to be 100%?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, we have to play these songs, you know, because that's how we've been playing them. But, Pete Willis, we've asked him if he wants to come, so we'll see. I don't know what that means yet with that. But, that would be cool.
I didn't even ask that question. So is it the entire band, including Pete, being inducted? Because usually it's, like when Kiss went in, it was the original four. Is it a certain set of guys, or is it everybody who's played being inducted? I'm just curious.
I think you have to be the 25-year thing. It has to be that.
Oh.
It has to be. If you've been in the band for 25 years, then you're in. So that's how I heard it. Yeah.
Wow. So.
Yeah. So he would be for sure. He's got the invite. So we'll see.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's great, Dan. I think that's always great when the band can get along and bring back some past members and get everybody up on stage together. I think that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So we're looking forward to that. The residency, we got the tour kicking off. I mean, what else is there anything with – what else you got going on at this point? Delta Deep, Manta Ray, anything else happening at this point?
Yeah, we're recording, new Def Leppard stuff. That's always – happening, I don't know when it'll be out, but that's something that we've kind of started kicking around, so we've got stuff on the go there, and that's it really. I'm just taking a little break at the moment, and then it all starts being crazy again at the end of this month. So a year ago we were just about to play the Royal Albert Hall in London, and then this whole year just has been incredible, stadium tour, everything, and then Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and there's a lot going on, actually. So, it's really good. It's nice to have a little break right now.
Wow, that's great. Well, I've held you a long time. I've tried to get a little bit of everything in because we're huge fans, and I think it's a terrific honor, and I hope this opens the door, because there's a lot of other guys who came up with you guys like Priest and Iron Maiden, who that deserve to be in as well, and I'm hoping that you guys unlock the door for some of those other guys to get in. I think it's long overdue for some other bands.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think also we said, the only reason they let us in because they're running out of bands to put in. I think it'd be cool if all those bands you mentioned would get in as well.
Well deserved, and a little love for the heavy metal world, the hard rock and metal world would be great. But Mr. Connell, I'm going to let you go. I want to thank you for coming on and giving us a few minutes. Is there anything that I haven't mentioned that you want to promote before I close this up?
I think we got it all, actually. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we got it all in there. Yeah.
Well, I want to say a big thank you. It's not every day we get a guy who's about to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on a show. We've had a couple, but it's not every day, and you're a terrific guest and a great person, and we wish you continued success. Have a ton of fun on the tour and in the residency, and who knows, maybe we'll get out to Vegas and see you guys one night for one of the shows. But by all means, thank you very much again for coming on Hard Rock and Sports, and hopefully we'll get you back on again later on.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Scott. Everybody, Phil Collins, Def Leppard, get out there and check him out. Thanks, sir.
Cheers. Take care. Bye.